This is the Courier Talking Football, a Mickey Mellon special. I'm Eric Nicholson, and I'll be joined by regulars Jim Spence and Sean Hamilton. Before that, though, we've got with us Matt Jones, a freelance writer from Merseyside. Matt has two Tranmere Rovers books to his name, so who better to speak to dig a wee bit deeper into the manager that Dundee United have just appointed. Matt, welcome.
Hi.
There's been a, is it fair to say there's been a bit of an outpouring of grief down your way at the departure of Mickey Mellon? He certainly seems to have made his mark in his time at the club.
He certainly has. Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one. Tranmere fans are usually happy to see the back of a manager, but not the case this time.
So are Dundee United fans.
it's a real rare situation, because if I look back on my time watching the club, no one has really come in and then left them when they've been in a better position until Mickey
Mellon's come along. Which is how long, Matt? How long are we talking about?
Well, I'm 30 and I've been watching them since I was five, so 25 years. I suppose I did just cross into the Johnny King era, but he left in 96. So I can't really remember him, so we won't call him as someone I can remember.
So are we talking about, I mean, do Tranmere fans, is he up there with John Aldridge? Are we talking that sort of level?
I think he's surpassed Aldo in what he achieved as a manager. Aldo, of course, was Mickey's manager at one point at Tranmere as well, so the pair are very close. But I think he's surpassed Aldo. Aldo, unfortunately, was part of that side that got relegated in 2000-2001. But for Mickey to win those two promotions as a manager, to have that playoff final defeat to Forest Green on his record, that the big win over Watford in the FA Cup this year, that the big cup ties against Spurs and Manchester United, I think what he has achieved over the last 4 years puts him not too far behind Johnny King, who is the ultimate great in terms of Tranmere managers.
So if we're going to describe Mickey Mellon as a manager, how would you sum him up? Because, you know, you get the head. It was interesting, I noticed that Dundee United have actually changed their job description back to manager from head coach, the last guy. I mean, is this an old school manager that likes to get involved in all different aspects of the club, likes to really, really get to grips with it?
Yeah, he's someone who wants to bring the entire club together. If I look at Tranmere's team photo from last season, it's got the cook from the canteen on it, Leroy, because he feels everyone who is a part of that building in the training ground is a part of the first team squad and a part of what they do. So he's someone who very much works together as a team and builds a team bond and a team ethic. And I think that man management style to him is absolutely crucial. Terrific motivator, clearly gets the best out of his players when he needs to. But he doesn't necessarily do all of the day-to-day coaching as well. Mike Jackson was his assistant here at Tranmere, and Mike did a lot of that down on the training ground. But the two of them really bounced off each other. And I think it's still a little bit unclear as to whether Jacko is going to follow him up to Scotland. But certainly he came from Shrewsbury with Mickey Mellon to Tranmere. So the two have worked together for a very long time, know each other very well and know what makes each other tick. So it'll be interesting to see whether that does happen. But regards to Mickey, yeah, absolutely. An old school manager, very good man manager, very good tactical awareness as well.
Yeah. How essential is Mike Jackson then? I mean, for example, if he didn't come in, of course, this could be, you know, by the time people listen to this, a deal might be done. But, you know, is he a big part of the job that Mickey Mellon does?
I think he is. I remember speaking to him for my second book, Mickey, This Is, and I asked him, what does Mike Jackson bring to Tranmere? What is he to you? And Mickey basically said, I'm everything that Jacko isn't, and Jacko's everything that I'm not. And Mike Jackson is more of the kind of ranter and raver, I think it would be fair to say, whereas Mickey is the motivator and the person who maybe puts his arm around a shoulder when need be. But also, I remember distinctly asking Mickey when Mike Jackson came to the club, because he came a couple of weeks after Mickey actually arrived from Shrewsbury. I said, what's he bring? And he says he brings a dossier full of coaching sessions that he can use.
That's handy.
As well. Yes, absolutely. So the two obviously work together very well. They've been friends for decades as well. So they're best mates. They feel like they work really well together in terms of being what each other isn't. So it'll be interesting to see whether that does happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's early, but does Mike Jackson, could you see him wanting the Tranmere job for himself? Do you have him down as a number two, a career number two, if you like?
It's a tough one, because we've never really got to know Mike Jackson during his time at Tranmere. He's done a few press conferences, but generally he's someone who, I don't know whether it's been through circumstance or through will, has generally stayed away from the media. It's always been Mickey that's fronted up to things. He obviously has been number two to Mickey at Shrewsbury and Tranmere, and he did briefly have the caretaker job, I think I'm right in saying, at Shrewsbury alongside Danny Coyne. So it's an odd one. We're not really sure. We don't know what his aspirations in terms of his career was. It was always clear that Mickey was a very, very ambitious person and he wanted to go right to the top as a manager. Whether Jacko sees himself as someone who wants to follow Mickey as a number two or finally make the move into being a manager, I couldn't really say. I'd be guessing, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Who's the tactical brain out the two of them? Is that Mickey's side of things?
I think they both share it. There are instances where Mike Jackson has clearly been the person driving some kind of tactics. I remember a game at Morecambe in 2018-2019 season, which Tranmere won 4-3, and they won a free kick over by the corner flag. And they had a right-footed player standing over it. And with seconds to go before this free kick was taken, they changed it to a left-footer. Harvey Gilmore, who took it, he swung it in. And the ball was headed home, actually. And I remember saying to Mickey afterwards, was that tactical genius? And he said, I can't really claim credit for it. Jacko just shouted he wanted a left-footer instead of a right-footer on the free kick.
Oh, well, there's plenty of managers I know who would have claimed it.
But there are other instances where Mickey has just been an absolute tactical genius. Have gone on record, has said this. I don't think I've ever seen a manager who has changed games and the momentum of a game as effectively as Mickey Mellon has on so many occasions. And these have happened in big moments, in big matches as well, playoff finals where he's made really big calls and surprised people with who he's brought off the bench or the tactical shape that he's switched to. And it's gone on to be a success. I remember a game against Lincoln in League Two where Tranmere were getting battered playing 4-4-2. So at halftime, he brought on a midfielder and went 4-5-1, and Tranmere completely turned the game around and won 1-0. And they dominated that second half with the extra man in midfield. So he's very tactically astute and aware. He is very flexible in terms of what team he picks and what formation he goes with. He basically will go with whatever he thinks will win a game, and he won't stick to a formation just because it was successful or semi-successful the game before.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be a cult of philosophies in football management, and those that are more pragmatic don't like to use the word. You know, it strikes me as Mickey Mellon falls into that sort of camp. You know, not one who's going to get hung up on, we have to do it this way. We'll basically do it the best way to win a game.
Yeah, you will very much get used to hearing Mickey Mellon say, tactics don't mean much. It's all about setting the team up right and getting individual players to win their individual battles. He doesn't necessarily like to talk about what tactics he's going to play pre-match. He will play it down, but you can see when he actually does send his players over the white line, they are very, very aware of what their jobs and what their duties are, and they may differ from game to game, but he will drill it into them for 2 or 3 days before each game. This is what you've got to do. This is your match. And if you win your individual battle, then we've got a great chance of winning this match, and so on.
Yeah, well, Dundee United fans, they kind of got used to, they won the league by a distance, or, well, you know, they were going to win the league by the distance. I don't want to bring up these sort of things with Tranmere fans, but, you know, and then got their promotion on the back of it. You know, there's still some courtroom drama to be played out. But anyway, we're assuming that they're in the top league. But Dundee United fans got used to a manager. Now, that isn't a criticism, but he had a way of playing, and, you know, they could be playing the top team or one of their promotion rivals, or they could be playing a team near the bottom, and it'd be very, very rare to see sort of, you know, mixing things up. By the sounds of it, you're not going to, you know, we're not going to be able to predict what a Mickey Mellon formation will be on day one of the season.
No, but what I would say is he is very loyal to his players. He'll give everyone a chance to show what they can do. So he will want to find out as much about his new players and his new squad as possible. And if they do perform well in a game, that player is likely to stay in regardless of whether there's a star striker coming back from a suspension or something like that. But yeah, very much so. You can't really predict exactly what formation he's going to have. I remember times when he was very successful with 3-5-2 at Tranmere, and that got them to their first playoff final, and then they went very much 4-4-2, and that got them to their second playoff final, and then it was kind of 4-5-1 that got them to the third. So he'll identify players and the way they best suit into a style of play or a system, and he won't be scared of changing things, as is shown by that game against Lincoln I referenced earlier, or even the playoff final against Newport last season, where they started with 4-4-2 or 4-5-1, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then when things were going a little bit against Tranmere in terms of momentum, it was still 0-0. He decided, I need an extra centre-half on the field. So we threw an extra centre-half on the field, Steve McNulty, who came on for a swan song, won every header, won every tackle, and guided Tranmere through to a clean sheet, and they won the game 1-0. So he will do what he feels is best. He won't necessarily just stick rigidly to a 4-4-2 like maybe some old school managers would.
It's all right. He did his first press conference on Wednesday, and there was the bits on the club TV, that sort of thing. And I noticed there was a very sort of clever PR move when he'd done the sort of set piece interviews and all the rest of it. But then it was like he was holding up the phone, and it was a message to the fans on his phone. And I just thought that was a subtle but quite a deliberate thing that he's done. And I mean, we can already see that he's going to make a big play of the connection with the supporters. How well, it'll be a blow to him that there's no fans in the ground for the foreseeable future, though, won't it? Because, you know, that seems to be one of his major strings to his bow.
Yeah, I would say that you look at the two promotions and things that he achieved at Tranmere, but I would genuinely say that his biggest achievement at Tranmere was the way that he brought the fan base back together with the players and the rest of the club, because Tranmere can be a very fractured fan base at times, or can have a very fractured fan base. And when he came in, things weren't great. They were struggling a little bit under Gary Brabham in the National League, and it looked like they might become part of the furniture in the National League after those back-to-back relegations. And the fans were very distant from the players. There didn't seem to be that relationship there. Players would sometimes celebrate goals without going anywhere near the fans. Mm-hmm. Mickey came in, and that just changed immediately. You could see the connection. He was absolutely desperate to ensure that he and the players were as closely aligned to the fans in what they wanted to achieve and what their vision was as well. But on top of that, he made it known to the fans that they very much could play a part in success. He told the fans, basically, that if you support us and get behind us and you make Prenton Park rock on a Saturday afternoon, then you will make us a much more formidable force. And he referenced one game last season, and I can't exactly remember what game it was, but he said there is a moment in that match where the fans just suddenly got going and got behind Tranmere. And he said he looked at the data that Tranmere had and the running stats that the players suddenly started putting in when those fans started getting going. It went up. The players started trying more because the fans were getting behind them and giving that encouragement. So he really did play that card regularly and successfully, and I would say it was his biggest achievement, the way he managed to align the fans, the players and the club together again.
I was going to say, a lot of the things you've been saying, he sounds like Tranmere's answer to Jurgen Klopp. There's a few comments. Maybe, I don't know who's learning off who, but before we let you go, I mean, no manager's perfect, and you know, they all have their little flaws, and they all have the things you think, oh, maybe that's maybe not his strongest suit. I mean, Tranmere struggled towards the bottom, although they were reviving towards the end of the season. Where are the things that you would maybe think, oh, that's somewhere where he could improve?
Sometimes in the transfer market, I would say he was not always as successful as he could have been. Now, the January transfer window, he was always brilliant. And if you look at the two seasons in which Tranmere got promoted, and
which is the hardest transfer market to be brilliant in as well, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. But if you look at 2018-19, he brought in the likes of Kieran Morris, Sid Nelson, Ben Pringle, who would all go on to play a massive, massive part in the promotion. And they came in January. Last season, Tranmere, yeah, relegated by points per game. I firmly believe they would have stayed up had the points per game not been brought into the equation. But they brought in James Vaughan, who scored 3 or 4 goals. They brought in Peter Clark, a centre-half, and they were making huge, huge differences. And the year before, they made January acquisitions as well, who would play a huge part in Tranmere winning promotion from the National League. So in January, generally, his business has been good. In the summer, it's not been quite as successful. There have been a few players who've been brought in who have really struggled. There are a couple at Tranmere now. I won't name names because that would be unfair to them, but they would say themselves they haven't set the world alight. James Alabi is another player who came in and never really hit the ground running during the National League era and was subsequently sold a year later. But that equally could be down to Tranmere not being at the top of the financial tree and therefore missing out on players that they had who were first, second, third choice and having to go in the end for fourth or fifth choice instead. And so maybe it's harsh to criticise Mickey, but I would say that sometimes the summer business has been not as successful as the January business. And again, maybe that is just down to finances.
Yeah, and things might be slightly different for him up at Dundee United with a sporting director. So he might not quite be as involved in signings as he perhaps was at his previous clubs. Well, listen, thanks very much for your insight, Matt. It's by the sound of it, Dundee United fans are getting a manager who they'll love representing their club, and none of us know how it's going to pan out. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be boring anyway. No. Thanks again, Matt.
No problem. Look after him.
Well, listening quietly in the background have been Jim and Sean, and Jim, that's a fascinating insight that Matt's given us there on the manager that Dundee United are getting. It certainly puts to rest the argument about whether it's a head coach or a manager. He's very much a manager in title and in the way he goes about his business, isn't he?
I was almost in tears for Matt there. He's taking it very personally. You know, it's kind of like the loss of an old friend. I think that's intriguing. And I know that, you know, putting my student rector's hat on for a moment, I know that the vice president of academia in Dundee, Stuart Murphy, Stuart's a huge Tranmere fan, and he rates Mickey Mellon kind of very, very highly. Indeed, he's up there on a kind of a godlike pedestal, you know. And it does sound as though I'm always kind of careful when I use the word old school manager, because I remember John Bomber Brown having a pop at me when I suggested.
Because some people take it as a criticism, don't they?
I actually meant it as a compliment that day. Old school in the respect that, you know, strict in terms of training. When you turn up to train, you work hard, you graft hard, you live the proper life of a professional football player. In no way should old school be taken as an insult. You're either a professional or you're not, in my book. And I think it sounds as though he's a really kind of hard grafting professional. So I think, you know, when you bear in mind that Tranmere, I think it had something like, was it six or seven managers in a 2.5 year period before Mickey Mellon became their manager. He's obviously made a big, big difference to what, not what one of the traditional big English clubs, you know, kind of the almost the invisible neighbours on Merseyside there, just over the Mersey and Birkenhead. He's very, very well thought of, and what he's done at the club, I think, indicates that there is something there that United fans can look forward to. I mean, it's a whole new argument about, you know, whether it'll be different in Scotland, stepping up a level and all the rest of it. But, I mean, he certainly is coming with a reputation as being a guy who knows his own mind.
Yeah, I think maybe a better way of phrasing it, Sean, is a rounded manager, isn't he?
Sounds that way. Certainly sounds that way. I was interested listening to that there. It was a few things that sort of rung quite familiar, if that's even a turn of phrase. If it's not, my apologies for the English language, but you know what I mean. Yes. That rung true. I think that's what I was reaching for. What he was saying about tactics not necessarily being something that Mellon might point at in his pre-match or his post-match comments, despite the fact that they're evidently, those skills are evidently there. He's inclined to talk about individual battles, and to me, that's more of a horses for courses approach, allied with that flexibility that Matt was talking about. That's almost Tommy Wright-esque. I'm sorry to bring him into it so early, Eric, but you knew it was always going to happen. To me, he sounds like a manager who is very much of that sort of school. I mean, he'll take what he's got, and he'll make the absolute best that he can of it, and that is huge for any manager.
Yeah.
Because the ones that don't, the ones that try to apply some sort of philosophy without reference to the actual players they've got and their capabilities, tend to fail.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Mickey Mellon, from what we're hearing, that's certainly not going to be the way he goes about it at Dundee United.
Yeah, Jim, I think what you love about this appointment, you like managers that, you know, they've built up genuine confidence in their own methods and what they do. That, you know, there's no bluffing or trying to convince yourself that you've got confidence. He can back it up with you know, with a with a evidence of what he's done at previous clubs.
Well, I mean, he's coming back up to Scotland with five English promotions.
Yeah.
on his curriculum vitae, yes, as they call it, on his CV. I mean, so you know, when you appoint a manager, as I say, I think I said Mercurial.com last week, it's a decision replete with danger. You can sign somebody who's got a fabulous CV; it could be a disaster. You can sign somebody look at Jim McLean, stepped up at 33 from a player coaching role at Dench Park and became an incredible success at Dundee United. Now, a lot of people who've seen McLean will tell you he was a decent player, but a pretty average player. You know, Mickey Mellon I've seen described as a journeyman football player, which I always kind of find is a bit of an insult as well. I mean, if you've made it as a professional footballer, you've done pretty well. We all like to think we could have been. You know, the truth of the matter is the vast bulk of us couldn't have been. Guys like him did. They made it as pros.
I haven't given up yet, Jim.
Yeah, well, I still go to bed dreaming about the cup final goal at Wembley or Hampden every night, Sean. But, you know, so he's got these five promos on his CV. So here's a guy with a track record. And Eric, you know, I can't be a hypocrite. I've asked the question dozens of times of new managers, what's your philosophy? And I cringe every time I hear myself asking it. And I'm actually quite delighted to hear he's a horses for courses man, because, you know, in many respects, we've gone overboard in football. We've turned a trade into a profession. And now with the rise of analytics and all the rest of Generation Z, we're in danger of turning it into a pseudoscience. It is not. It's essentially still, the sport is essentially still about hard graft. That's the first thing. You must work for the full 90 minutes plus the extra time. You must be able to control a ball and pass it as quickly as possible. You know, you must be able to tame that ball, under duress, under pressure, and pass it with some degree of accuracy as quickly as possible. And you must win your personal battles. If you're the wide player, you must be able to beat the left back. If you're the midfielder, the holding midfielder, you must be able to get in there and distribute that ball, win some passes. If you're the defender, you must be able to win the corner. That's what it's about. Personal battles, hard graft, and the ability to actually, you know, play pretty quickly and make your mind up pretty quickly with as few touches as possible, I think. You know, those are not scientific things. Those are just kind of things that you drill, 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 drill. Mm-hmm. And people forget that about wee Jim McLean. One of the things that Jim did was he drilled players incessantly in terms of the formation they would play and how they would play. And if that's old school, so be it. It's a good thing.
No, Sean, I think I'd be reassured if I was a Dundee United fan, because There was this, but I mean, Tony Ashgar interviewed the full range of types of managers, stroke coaches. But I firmly believe that the circumstances that Dundee United are in, not just Dundee United, but you know, the season we're about to go into, you know, with all the sort of imponderables that are flying about the place, and the big factor with Dundee United being they're going up a division, I thought it was crucial that they got a manager. And that they got a rounded manager. I would have been very worried for them, I must admit, if they'd gone for a tracksuit coach with all the badges and all the analytics and all the rest of it. I would you agree? Are you reassured by this appointment?
Yeah, mate, I agree with you completely. And I mean, we go back to the previous few weeks, actually, has it? Yeah, but I've been on this podcast. Or am I thinking of the Tully one? Because I've been going back and forward. I can't even remember. I've certainly said, I think it might have been on here. But, I certainly said that. The competition, eh? I've certainly said on one of them that I thought Tommy Wright was the outstanding candidate for it. I also mentioned Stephen Robinson at Motherwell, who, and again, that was more pie in the sky, but at the same time, there's an experienced man there. And I thought that's what Dundee United needed. As you say, they're coming up a division, they're going to need a bit of a rebuild, and they need a guy who's been around the course, you know, and knows what he's doing. And certainly they've got that in Mickey Mellon. But you say the distinction, you actually pointed this out to me this morning, Eric, because I'd missed it completely. That United themselves are referring to him as manager rather than head coach,
and I bet that's at his request.
There's no doubt. I mean, that's an important distinction, because as again, I think you said before, we've been told for United's press man, Joe Rice, for a number of years, hammering on, he's a head coach. Robbie's the head coach. Now we've got a manager. So,
shall we start calling Mickey Mellon a head coach then, just to wind you up?
Well, I've already done it. I did it in stuff that appeared in the papers this morning. So I'm expecting that phone call any time now.
Tell you what I like as well, Sean, and it's maybe a bit in-house, but I liked when I was listening to Matt there about how he said that, and we were talking about, we'll come on to the whole Mike Jackson thing, who seems to be a really interesting part of it, and his recruitment would appear to be crucial. But I did like the fact that he said that, Mickey Mellon will be front and centre. Now, you know, a team like Tranmere will lose a lot of games, Dundee United will lose games, but it seems that he's the one that's going to take the press conferences. He's going to come out and explain defeats. He's going to talk about, he'll be deferential, but as we heard about, that winning corner and all the rest of it. But this is going to be his show. And I think that's a good thing, Jim.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there is a distinction. This is not just about language. I mean, a coach is a coach, a manager is a manager and a coach. But a manager delegates, and some of the greatest managers have done. From Jock Steen's days, you've had great managers who delegated the kind of day-to-day coaching. You know what the session's going to be. You know if it's going to be a short, sharp session, an analytical session, a long, grueling kind of, build the stamina session. And the great managers delegate quite a lot of that stuff and then start to do their work maybe on the Thursday or the Friday, in terms of... I hesitate to you because I'm a big believer in motivation, although I do agree with a previous English manager who said that when he looked, at professional football players, those who needed motivation, he sacked. you shouldn't need motivation as a professional football player. But I understand what it means. I mean, you're looking for the guy that makes you, makes you feel 10 foot tall. The guy that makes you feel that you want to go and give, that everything you've got, that wee bit extra, if you want. And I think, the manager does that. The manager is the guy who calls the shots. That's the bottom line. Interestingly, I think Tony Asgard, the sporting director, and Mickey Mellon have known each other for a long, long time. And I think that's important. That will be as important as the assistant that he brings. And it may well be Mike Jackson, who, has been his right hand for a long time. But I think that's important. When you describe someone as a coach, you mean that someone else brings in the players, you go and coach them. When you're the manager, you're the manager. The buck stops with you. The final say will be yours. So I think it's not just language. It's an important distinction, I think, in the terminology.
But Sean, we did get a real feel there that you get managers with number twos who, it's maybe like, 90%, 10%, and there's plenty of managers that I think Robbie's probably one of them that he had Stevie Crawford, then he had Lee McCulloch and Gordon Forrest at United, and he said he'll take his time to see what's happening. Some managers are quite happy to take on the staff that they inherit. I think this Mike Jackson appointment sounds like it's going to be pretty crucial, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like a key piece of the puzzle to me. And I mean, you can see the attraction of if you've got a solid partnership with someone that you've got a way of working that clearly has led to success down at Tranmere. I mean, it's a no-brainer that you would want to bring that guy up here as soon as possible, if you possibly could. So, I mean, time will tell on that front. I'm sure it'll be something United will be working to do. So it wouldn't surprise me too much to see Mr. Jackson, Wacko Jacko, if you like, appearing up here pretty soon.
Ideally, you would have him, and then if Gordon Forrest was to move on, because we think that, Lee McCullough's definitely going on, if Gordon Forrest went as well, then you get somebody else who's maybe steeped in the Scottish football. That would make sense, wouldn't it? That would be a solid triumvirate.
What interested me in terms of one of the things he said, it was to do with, I mean, if you cast your mind back to after it was confirmed that United were champions of the Championship, we had Robbie Nielsen and indeed Mal Branigan as well. I think he started the whole thing off. He's the now departed Mal Branigan, as it were. But Robbie said, we're aiming for the top six this season. A number of players followed him and echoed that. And I think that was those sorts of claims were notably absent from yesterday's chat.
I thought
that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
and I couldn't help but wonder whether, just in the cynic in me wondered whether Robbie thinking, oh, there's a good chance I might be off here, because we know how these football deals tend to work.
Laying traps.
Someone has a word in someone's ear. Yeah, I wonder if Robbie's thought, well, I'll just drop a wee grenade here before I leave, and we'll see. It's a dog eat dog business, Eric. You know.
Well, they like to trip each other up. Yes. True enough. But no, I suppose we can move on to that now, Jim. I mean, he's done his first press conference up here, Mickey, and he's kind of the line seemed to be, or certainly the one that we took, you know, was that he's very much about short term games, and as you said, he wasn't actually referencing what Robbie said, but you know, he certainly wasn't about to say, oh, you know, we're shooting for the stars here. Pragmatic again there, Jim.
Well, there's a fine line between pragmatism and boredom, to be perfectly frank. And I think, you know, football is the field of dreams, Eric. You know, I mean, mere survival doesn't cut it for me. So, you know, while United will want to get into the Premiership and obviously stay there, it would be nice to have a wee bit more ambition. That said, there's absolutely no point if I'm coming into a landscape that he's going to have to get used to, which is an alien landscape to him, given that he's never worked here. Other than the short spells, you know, Hearts youth, he's never worked here. So there's little point coming in and making rash promises and predictions. But, you know, having said that, again, you've got to qualify by saying you do want to offer some excitement. You do want to offer some thrill, some sense of excitement to fans. Now, the proof of the pudding will be probably 5-6 games into the season when we see the type of football that United are playing, whether it's going to, you know, tiki-taka, and I suspect it won't be, or whether it's, you know, wholehearted, full-blooded guys that will chase everything. Remember, even at the top level, one of the things that endears Scousers to Andy Robertson is that absolute never say die, chase a man for 80 yards back from his opponent's penalty box to make the tackle. That punters love that. We all love that. We all love to think that we're getting 100% in the shift.
He's not coming back, is he, Jim? You know,
I don't think so.
You're revealing something.
I think that's what fans, more than anything, fans want to see people giving every single thing for the jersey. There's no point in coming in, Mickey Mellon coming in, as he will know him. He's 48. He's not a boy. He's not a kind of 35-year-old coach. He's coming in there with a lot of experience under his belt. There's no point in promising what he can't deliver, but he knows he'll be judged game to game, week to week. And that is sensible. That said, there's got to be a wee glimmer of excitement, a wee frisson of theatre about football. Football's ultimately about tribalism, but you do want the sense that you're going to see something which lifts you from the dirdom of your working week, whether you're a journalist, a lawyer, or a labourer, you know?
Speak about yourself, Jim. come on.
You can't beat a wee frisson, can you?
Well, can't beat a frisson. I was always saying that, you know?
Don't get it on this podcast very often, but anyway,
you know,
Sean,
we've got an intelligent listenership on this podcast.
Oh, we do. We do, yes, we do. But a tactical fluidity, Sean, we like to hear that in a manager, don't we?
Absolutely, why not? Yeah. Well, that was one of the things I noted down. It's do you know what? That's a priceless ability for a manager at any level. But
first half substitutes. Oh, punters love to hear that sort of stuff, don't they?
Players love it even more. Yeah. the ability to sort of see the flow, the ebb and the flow of a game, and to spot an issue and to fix it. Not only to fix it, but to turn it to your advantage. That's priceless stuff. So that's obviously something our man in Tranmere has spotted that Mickey Mellon has in his locker. If we see that at Tannadice, United fans will be delighted with that, because as I say, that's bordering on priceless ability as a manager.
It was a stick that the anti Robbie Brigade would batter him with, wasn't it?
Yeah, it could be that. I mean, again, that flexibility, though, I think I mentioned this at the start. I mean, it's to do with that pragmatism and that horses for courses approach to thing, because these are the man. I mean, Tommy lasted 7 years at St Johnstone, and that's and 7 successful years in the Premiership, which is pretty much unsurpassed. So if you've got a manager who can react within a game and is flexible, you tend to find that he'll be more successful if he can ally that with an eye for a player, which is maybe an issue. The one issue that our man pointed out was maybe under question, but if he can ally an eye for a player with the ability to change a game, then, I mean, you're going to think he'll do better than the types of managers who are sort of rigidly subscribed to a way of playing and refuse to change it.
Thought you were going to say he'll do better than Dundee United, but there we go. That's all. We'll leave. Come on.
Let's give them their moment, Eric. Come on, let United have their moment.
So top of the entry, Jim. What's he getting down to work with? What's the priorities for Mickey Metcalf? I'm not talking about backroom appointments, mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff. That'll take care of itself one way or the other. What are the big things he needs to get right before in these next 3 weeks before they play Saints at Tannadice?
Well, we'll find out very shortly whether he's got a budget to sign no players, one player, two players, three players, four players. We don't know at the moment. He seems to be pretty happy, having watched the squad, the quality that he's got. I'm pretty sure I heard them suggesting that, you know, they're happy to go with youth as well. I mean, I think it's experimental in the early stages. We just don't know. He will undoubtedly have a quick look over the squad, decide where he thinks they are weak, and that's always, you know, that's always difficult to do in training sessions and all the rest. That you never really know that until you get into the heat of battle. So 3, 4, 5 games in, he might decide we're weak on the left side of midfield, or we're weak in central defence, or we need to think hard about whether we play a front two. You know, for instance, is the Nisbet thing now dead? The interest in him previously? So we don't know. I mean, we don't know whether, you know, how he'll be strapped for budget, or whether Mark Ogren may make more funds available to him. I don't know. I'm slightly suspicious when, you know, I see how desperately United needed the 100,000 from the foundation recently, and also that they're, you know, doing a fundraiser for legal fees and all the rest of it. My suspicion is that Mark Ogren has spent a heck of a lot of money so far, and things might be a wee bit tighter at Tannadice than they've been previously, but we just don't know. We've got a very quick indication of, you know, whether or not he is going to dabble in the market, I'd have thought. You know, I mean, he will also have a big knowledge, obviously, of south of the border. But remember, previously, I think Tony Asghar suggested that on one of the podcasts we did with him and Robbie Nielsen, that they would look south of the border, and there's a lot of good value to be had in the lower leagues in England, which doesn't, you know, strap clubs up here financially. Premiership clubs here can afford that kind of money. Once you get above that, you forget it. But, you know, there could be good value to be had in the lower leagues, and he will know all of that. But we don't know at the moment. We don't know what his budget is, whether it will require one out, one in, or whether he's going to have extra money to play with. All that will become apparent in the weeks to come.
Sean, it doesn't sound like he's going to be the type of man. I mean, you can never predict how these things will play out, but given his history with Tony Asghar and the way he's worked at previous clubs, you wouldn't suggest there's going to be friction between him and his sporting director as far as signings. It sounds like he might be happy to give up some of the responsibility. You know, obviously he's going to have certain things he'll want, but, you know, that doesn't seem like a natural clash.
No, it doesn't. I could suggest there'll be friction just out of badness, but I'll not do that.
Well, go on then.
No, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be absolutely fine. And as you say, given their previous relationship, Mickey Mellon's joined Dundee United, I'm sure, in full receipt of the facts about how the club works and how it's going to work between him and his mate and Tony. So I don't see there being any reason for butting heads if all is clear at the start, and there's no reason why it wouldn't be. So yeah, I don't see any problems there. Although interestingly, I was speaking to Robbie Nielsen at his Hearts unveiling via Zoom this week, and I asked him.
Did you not ask him to come back on our podcast? Eh? Come on,
could
have a couple exclusives there.
I was never invited on the ones that Robbie was on, so I just I thought I'd just leave it. Aye. Again, out of badness, that's me summed up.
You must have been on the telly that week.
Yeah. That must have been, aye. So, I asked him about the comments that Stephen Presley had made about, suggestive of a discomfort between from Robbie about how the club is run at United and his lack of access to the owner and what have you. So I put that to him and asked him if there was any truth to that, if he had any misgivings about the way things go at United, and he couldn't have denied it. any more strongly, albeit in a very Robbie Nielsen style, which is very quietly spoken.
Yeah.
But he was he very much said, no, that's nonsense. I had no problem. I had a great relationship with everyone at United, great relationship with Tony, yada, yada, yada. So he was adamant there were no problems. And certainly I don't see Mickey Mellon having any.
Giving everyone a chance. Jim, I mean, that's an easy thing to say, but what players do you think other that might think, all right, okay, we were drifting out of things a wee bit under Robbie, but we could be right back in it. You know, I'm thinking somebody maybe Declan Glass. I never got the impression that Robbie was wholly sold on Declan, but he's a player who I really, really like. Is he an example? Maybe a couple others?
Yeah, I like Glass, I have to say. I'm glad you're lighter on him because I think he went out alone, of course, to Cove Rangers, didn't he? You know, and but now a very talented player. And I think a good level of energy about the boy as well. I think the thing is, this is all there for players at United who've been either in the picture or out of the picture. It's theirs to grasp, Eric. You know, I mean, when a new manager comes in, you're starting absolutely afresh, particularly with Mickey Mellon coming in from south of the border. He's not going to come in with any potential inbuilt prejudices, having known the Scottish game. I think that's, you know, we can talk quite easily about, you know, well, managers don't know the Scottish game, but that can be a benefit. You come in, you're not in with any kind of inbuilt prejudices there. You come in, you look at the squad, you cast your eye over that squad with your professional abilities and your professional sight, and you decide on the basis of what you're seeing in training over a week or two, the guys that look to you, A, firstly, as though they've got the right ability, B, the right attitude and the right temperament, and they're not necessarily in that A, B order, but they've got to have these things. And then you decide, you know, whether or not these are the sort of guys that you think will fit into the team that you want to build. And I don't mean the style in terms of style of play, but the style of club that you want, a club where everyone pulls for each other, where you genuinely have a team effort. And quite often that involves the guys who are not stripped on a Saturday as well. You know, I think that's important. I thought one of the things that quite intrigued me from the BBC website south of the border was they described Mickey Mellon going as, not since the Beatles broke up has an abrupt departure caused such angst in this patch of Merseyside. I mean, I think that indicates, you know, how well thought of and how warmly, regarded he was there. So he comes in, I think, with a fresh chance, a fresh eye to look over the entire squad. And frankly, if guys don't take the chance, then they probably don't deserve it to impress the new manager.
And lastly, Sean, before we wrap things up, United would already have had a surprise factor in their favour going into this season. They'll have even more of it now, won't they?
Yeah, they will. They will. They would have been an unknown quantity regardless, as you said. Although having Robbie there, I think he was one of those managers with a particular approach to the game. So I think it was probably likely that other managers would have been looking at United had Robbie been there as a certain type of team, and they would be preparing to face them along those lines. But with a new manager in from down south, spent his entire career down there, nobody really knows what he's about as a manager here. They'll have to do their homework as quickly as possible because, as you say, it's going to be an unknown quantity. United, who knows what to expect from them? So St Johnstone are first up, aren't they? So Callum Davidson will be looking at that, and he'll be thinking, getting his thinking cap on, trying to come up with a way to combat what is an unknown quantity. I wouldn't fancy that task.
Well, cheers guys, and thanks again to Matt for his contribution at the start of the show. It's only fair that we reference his own podcast down south. It's called A Trip to the Moon. And thanks to you guys as well. You were okay as well, Jim and Sean. Okay, you can come back to
cheers, mate.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it, or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people to find Talking Football, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget too to pick up your copy of The Courier Monday to Saturday, or go to thecourier.co.uk/subscribe to find out how to get our award-winning sport, business and local journalism across Tayside and Fife in the way that's right for you. The Courier. Local matters.